Well, praise the Lord. So thankful for the local church. You know, so we had a precious woman stop in last night to the Corey Church. And I just love, you know, like, as, you know, we have different meetings like that. And, of course, you know, we hope that she comes back. We are never guaranteed those things. But, you know, one of the things she said to my wife was that she had been, you know, driving by and driving by and driving by, and that the Lord had been, she knew she had to stop and come to a service. Amen. And it blessed me so much when you think about that, because here's somebody who has been getting dealt with by the Lord, and then they finally make the decision to obey, you know. And, as I was getting ready for the service, in my spirit, I heard these words, how long are you willing to wait? And it really, you know, it got me thinking, because there's times in life when we, you know, when we strive for things or we work for things, you know, and this is everybody's life, not just my life. And so often, you know, we get to that place where we're well, not that I was ready to give up last night or anything like that, but we get to that place where we're ready to give up. And sometimes it's just that one more time. Will you wait one more day? Will you give it one more hour? You know, and you know, I know this about the blessing of the Lord. That's exactly how it comes. And that when we're faithful to wait, when we're faithful to seek Him, when we're faithful to stand on His promises, that He's faithful to fulfill them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so there's an example. You know, God is always doing things through the hands of humans. He does things on this earth through the hands of humans. And we're just thankful for that knowledge and that understanding. Praise the Lord. But I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Last week I started a message. I thought I didn't plan on it being 2 weeks, but as it would turn out, it was going to be 2 weeks. So we are the second part of Are You Thankful? Praise the Lord. And remember, we're talking about being thankful for the things of God, and how if we're not thankful for the things of God, we're not qualified for more in the Lord. Amen. And so we have to understand that thankfulness is a very, very important part of being a Christian. Glory to God. And we started last week. We're going to start there again. This is kind of our go-to verse for this. We started in 2 Timothy, so why don't you go ahead and turn there. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Are you thankful? Praise God, hallelujah. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That word perilous times literally means stressful times. That's something that we see a lot in this. I don't know about you, but as you just work, you don't even have to look very far anymore to start feeling stressed. You know what I mean? By the world standards, I mean, you look at what's going on out there. It's like everything all the time. I mean, you don't even know what you can say anymore and be right. Praise the Lord. And that's why it's good that we speak the word, because if we speak the word, it doesn't matter what anyone says or if they like it or not. We're going to always be speaking right. We can be guaranteed of these things. Amen. Praise the Lord. But know this, that in the last time, perilous or stressful times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And of course, the part that I'm focusing on for these messages is the part that says that they're unthankful. You remember, these are signs of the end times. But there are some really interesting things in here, and it would do you good to sit there, to go back, go over your notes, look at these scriptures, and really take a look at each and every one of these and think about what that is. These are signs of the end times. That does not mean that these are good things that are happening. This means that these are bad things that happen, and we see that. Amen. But one of the marks of the end times is that people will grow unthankful. They will be unthankful. We know that, like I said last week, if Jesus is your Lord, you have no place, you have no reason to ever be sad. If you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you understand what's involved in that, then you will never be sad. You will never be, or not for long, because everything that is in God supersedes everything that is in the world. Amen. God is bigger than all the stuff, right? The Veggie Tales taught us, right? God is bigger than the boogeyman. Praise the Lord. And if you don't know that, well, you're missing half your life. You need to go back and find that, because it's just wonderful. But God is bigger than all things. He's bigger than all the trials. He's and God wants to be bigger in our lives, amen? It doesn't matter what comes against us. It doesn't matter what things rise up. It doesn't matter what kind of pandemics or riots or unrest or unsettling or anything else. We always have a reason to be thankful. And this is a place that can disqualify us is when we lose that thankfulness. And this is an area that I've seen in myself so many times. I've seen it in other Christians so many times. You know, I don't just talk about the good things I do. I also talk about the bad things I do, praise the Lord, because we all have things that we are not perfect in, amen? But the goal is, the thing is, we're not supposed to necessarily be perfect, but we're supposed to be to strive to be more like our Father, amen? Praise the Lord. But people disqualify themselves by being unthankful. They disqualify themselves for more of what God has for them. Now, we know that the Bible talks so much about praise and praise towards God. And really what praise towards God summed up is it's thankfulness. It's praising God because you can, listen, if you're not thankful, you won't praise, amen? And if you praise, you're thankful because you're showing your gratitude. You're recognizing that there's a reason to praise. And we have to understand this about our Lord, that there's always a reason to praise him. There's always a reason to shout out to God. There's always a reason. Why? If nothing else, he gave us Jesus. But we know with giving us Jesus, he's with him giving us all things, praise the Lord. And because he's given us all things, that we really have no reason to be sad, amen? But see, the truth is when you get into a place of depression or sadness, well, that's actually, it stems from the devil, and the devil's trying to get you to that place where you don't trust the Lord anymore, where you don't trust his word. You don't trust the things that he says. You don't trust the promises, amen? And we know that it's important to stand on the promises of God. Praise God. If Jesus is your Lord, you have no place to be sad. And so we have to learn to turn this around in ourselves. Sometimes there's things in life that will be hard on us. Sometimes there's things that will put pressure on us. But the way that we move out of it, the way that we move on into the greater things of the Lord is by our gratitude, our thankfulness. Amen? And how many know, I don't know about you if you've ever noticed this, but I've noticed this often that there's a lot of times that people complain about things and you sit there and listen to them and you're like, you know what? You're thinking to yourself, you probably won't say it to them. Maybe sometimes you will, praise the Lord. But you're sitting there thinking, you're like, you know what? You don't really have room to complain. Like, things are good for you. You got good things. Like, if you really start counting your blessings, like, you may have something that's off in your life. Everybody does at some point. But if you really think about it, you have things to be thankful for, amen? Well, number one, if you got up and you're drawing a full breath, praise the Lord, that's pretty good. You know what I mean? If your blood's still coursing through your veins, there's something to be thankful about. Amen? So the devil is always trying to get us to that place of being ungrateful or unthankful. Amen? And that keeps us from praise. And we know that praise keeps us from joy. It keeps us from the presence of the Lord keeps us in that. Amen? The lack of praise keeps us out of it. Praise the Lord. Too often the people of God want perfect natural circumstances and the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. He doesn't work things according to perfect natural circumstances. He works them according to his plan and his purpose. People are looking for God, and then they're also looking for perfect natural circumstances. They want, and they forget that God is a supernatural God. What does supernatural God mean? It means he's beyond natural. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And aren't you glad? Because in the natural, there's not much guarantee in the natural, is there? I mean, in the natural, when we look at the natural world, you know, you might hear people of the world say this. You certainly shouldn't as a Christian. But you never know what's going to happen, and you really can't know if you're in the natural. If you're just in the world, you don't know. I mean, I've thought about this so many times. Like you know, most people that die didn't know that they were going to wake up and die that day. They didn't know that it was going to happen. Now, there's people that, of course, they have had sicknesses and prolonged sicknesses, and so maybe they have an idea that that's coming. But there's tragic accidents that happen all the time. And one of the things, whenever I see a tragic accident, the one thing I always think about is the fact that 5 minutes before it happened, they had no idea. That's the world. There's no guarantees. But aren't you glad that we have a God who is a God of guarantees? We have a God who is a God of protection. We have a Holy Spirit who's been given to us so that we would know all things. And for that, we should be thankful. For that, we should understand that there is, if we feed that. Now, that doesn't mean that every Christian is going to know all things all the time. And the reason for that is because Christians don't do what they need to do to hear from the Holy Spirit. That's why we teach the truth and try to get people into that place. Listen, obeying God is not just about, it's not about so much what he gives you. It's about your ability to be connected to him. When you're connected to God, there are all kinds of things open up in your life. When you're connected to God, your life will change because God will be able to speak to you and you'll be able to hear him. And see, that's the problem with a lot of people that, you know, people that get into sin of any kind. If you get offended, for example, and I love using offense because offense is something that's always tried to rob me. What do I mean by that? I get offended about something somebody says or does, and immediately I'm mad, and I want to throw, you know, I just want to throw everything out, and I get mad and angry about it. But the thing is offense blocks us from being able to hear from our Heavenly Father. Offense is it's like a wall that seals out the voice of God. And so when we embrace offense, when we enter into offense, we can't receive what he wants to do for us. And so no matter how much we pray, no matter how much we plead with God, it's not going to change. We can't allow these things to be. We have to get into a place of gratefulness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Stop being double-minded, trying to conform God's ways to the world's ways. If you try to understand God through the world, you will never fully understand him. You'll never partially understand him because you can't. You can get the idea of what God wants through the world, but you can't understand God through the world's ways. You know, the Bible says that we can see God in all creation. That's found in Romans 1, that we can, that through the things that are created, we can understand the Creator. And that's true. There's nothing, I'm not coming against that at all. But the thing is through the world's ways of doing things. And those are easy to us. Basically, anything that's inherent in you, anything that you just always thought was right, you can pretty much count that as the world's ways. Amen? Glory to God. And that's why we need the teaching of the Word, because when we get the teaching of the Word, it brings us up out of that. It lifts us up out of that stuff of the, because God's vision is always looking down. And again, another thing, maybe I'm just goofball, but every time I fly, I think about certain things like this. You know, after I think about, wow, we're up here quite a ways, praise the Lord. And if the plane crashes, there's nothing I can do about it now. Those are always the first two things I think about. And then I get into peace real quick because I'm just, you know, it's like at that point, it's all good. I know it's probably kind of a sadistic way of doing things or thinking about things, but, you know, I'm not quite right. They made me a pastor, but I'm not quite right. But praise the Lord. But we get up there, and I'm looking down. But I'm always, one thing I always think about when I'm up there is you're looking down, and you see things, and everything that's normal to you looks different. You know, I remember the first time I was flying with my pastor, and we were coming back from California, and we were flying over Chautauqua Lake. And he nudges me, and he points down to the lake. And I'm like, oh, what's that? Now, I grew up knowing what Chautauqua Lake is. I live a mile from the lake, praise the Lord. I spent time on the lake, around the lake, in the lake, glory to God. But, you know, when you're up in the air, it looks totally different. You get a different point of view, don't you? And so some of the features, you know, if you've ever looked on Google Maps or something like that, and you're trying to find your house, even though you know where you live, even though you know what your property looks like and stuff like that, as you look down upon it, it might take you a few minutes to find your bearings or to find where you're at. Praise the Lord. What is that? It's all just different perspective. And that's exactly what God does. The teaching of the Word does is it brings us up out of our earthly perspective and puts us in a heavenly perspective. When we have a heavenly perspective on things, it's much easier to operate, even in the natural. Because we know this, that even though things are supernatural, remember it wasn't long ago that I taught about the supernatural is just that it's like the natural magnified, that everything in nature is born out of the supernatural. And so the natural isn't that far from the supernatural, it's just different, amen? But when we know the supernatural, then the natural will make more sense to us, amen? Praise the Lord. The natural is the natural. If you want the supernatural, you must be willing to let go of the natural. And that's the whole thing about, that's the whole thing that we, really the basis of what we teach. You know, a good Bible teaching church will teach this kind of stuff, is that if you want the supernatural, if you want what God has for you, you have to let go of the things of the earth. Now, letting go of the things of the earth doesn't mean that you can't ever have anything nice or that you can't enjoy life and none of this stuff. It just means that you're going to lower its importance in your life and you're going to magnify the importance of the things God has for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And one of the ways to do that is by being thankful. The world, if you've noticed, is not thankful. Why are, you know, regardless of whether something is justified or not, whether it be a riot or a war or a fight or anything like that, regardless of even if it's completely justified, it stems out of a place of a lack of thankfulness, really, is what you can sum it up. Because if you're thankful, you don't fight. You have no reason to fight. There's no reason to argue if you're thankful. Like when my wife and I are thankful, we have perfect fellowship, praise the Lord. When we're thankful towards each other, it's perfect fellowship. It's when we get unthankful, glory to God, that we start stepping out of perfect fellowship. So then what do we have to do at that point? We have to endeavor if we want a good relationship. You notice what I'm saying here. There's causes and effects in everything we do. If we want a good relationship, then we have to work for it. If we don't want one, then we won't. That's all there is to it. But if one of us is working and the other one is not working, we're still not going to have a good relationship because we both have to work at it together. Amen. That's why it's important to choose these things, choose a spouse wisely. And kids, I would encourage you that way as you grow older and you think about choosing a spouse, choose one wisely. One thing I've learned about choosing wisely is this. When I want something, I am the last person to decide whether or not it's right. It's always the truth. If I want something, I'm the last person to decide whether or not it's right. You say, well, why would that be? Because I want it. And if I want it, I just want what I want. I'm human just like you are, and you are the same way. If you want something, you're the last person to decide whether it's right. I was just telling my boy the other day, I was like, every single time that I have to make an important decision, I always submit it to, there's a list of people that I will submit it to. My wife is always first and foremost. I'm married right, praise the Lord. And so if I'm going to make a decision on something, I always first submit it to her. And then if I want more verification, I'll submit it to my pastor. And sometimes, and also generally, if I submit it to my pastor, I also submit it to his pastor. What do I mean by submit it to it? I mean, I go to him and I say, hey, this is what I'm thinking, but I just want your, I want your take on it. I want to know what you think about this. I want to know. That doesn't mean that what they think about it is what I'm going to do, but I want their take. The Bible says that there is safety in the multitude of counselors. Amen? That doesn't mean a multitude of bad counselors. I mean, have you ever noticed you can get a lot of advice from a lot of people really quickly? Man, if you get on Facebook, you can get all kinds of advice if you want. Praise the Lord. I would suggest that if you ever want advice, don't go to Facebook. It's not the place to go get it. Amen? Unless it's something like, you know, somebody sent my wife, I think, a Facebook message and said, is this poison ivy? And she knew, or she saw somebody put this out there on Facebook, and she knew that I knew poison ivy. So that's a good place to get advice, amen? But I will tell you this, there was somebody else who answered the same post and said, though, that's definitely poison ivy. And it definitely wasn't. I know for a fact it wasn't. But somebody else who didn't know as much, and they're a younger buck, but whatever, it doesn't matter. But they didn't know as much. They thought it was, but it clearly wasn't. So it was bad advice. So you have to go to somebody who knows, amen? But you go to somebody who knows when you're seeking to know things. Because if you truly want an answer, if you truly want to be helped, seeking, listen, it's not about having, I got to have my pastor lording over my life or anything like that. It's not anything like that. You don't have to submit anything to, you know, we get tripped up on that word submit. It doesn't mean that you have to, you have to look to me to control your life. Please don't. Please don't look to me to control your life. I don't want to, and you don't want me to. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there is a thing about going to somebody that you trust, when you learn somebody that you trust, that you can get a perspective on. And I've even learned that in the people I trust, there's certain perspectives I can't get from them. Amen? Just because they don't understand. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so if you want the natural is the natural. If you want the supernatural, you must be willing to let go of the natural. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Philippians 4. We're still talking about, I added a little bit, but not much to this service, the sermon for this week. We're talking about thankfulness. Thankfulness, again, it's a sign of the end times. When we see these things, the signs of the end times, we shouldn't just look to them and say, oh, those are the signs of the end times. We should realize what we're in. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians apparently disappeared out of my Bible. There it is. I knew you were around here somewhere. Praise God. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, or whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Okay, you know, meditate in the scripture, it means to mutter or to utter or to say over and over again. We see it as, like you're thinking about it, you're speaking it out, you're talking about it, meditating on these things. Keep your mind on these things, in other words. Sometimes we have to force our mind to be on something. One thing I've learned about forcing our minds or making our minds be on something is our minds literally will be on whatever we feed them. And so if you spend a lot of time around the wrong person, for example, if you spend a lot of time, say you have a best friend, but that best friend is always negative. One of the things that I've often married people on is be very, very careful at who you bring in to your marriage. In other words, if a wife has a friend or the husband has a friend who is opposed to marriage, they are the wrong one to have. If they're somebody who has been jaded in marriage, they're the wrong friend to have. And some people think that sounds harsh, but I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen. And look at anybody. You probably know somebody who's fallen into this trap. They had a friend who was anti-marriage. They spend time with them. They come back, and all of a sudden, they're kind of mad at their spouse. They're annoyed by all these little things now, all of a sudden. Now they want their freedom. They need a little more me time. I've seen it over and over and over again. And I didn't even have to be a Christian to see this. I saw this when I was living in the world. That there were certain friends. I remember at different times and having different relationships. I remember there were certain friends that when they would come around, not my friends, but her friends. I remember there were certain friends that would come around. And when they would come around, I was just like, ugh. You just don't want them around. And you don't want them around because you know everything in them is trying to make them opposed to you. Yeah. Sometimes even the friends that hooked you up. Now, I'm talking about the old school days, that's not the way we do things anymore, but you know, there was a lot of things in the world that were like that. There are people constantly talking negative about it. Now, listen, it's one thing if there's a reason to, you know what I mean? Like if somebody, obviously if somebody's being abusive or something like that, and you have a good friend that's, hey, you don't need to put up with this, that's true. And I would obviously you want to listen to stuff like that. But I'm talking about just generally somebody who's disheartened. But, you know, the same thing is with somebody in politics. Somebody, a friend with politics, a friend, a coworker even. You know, if you're constantly listening to something, constantly hearing it over and over and over again, you're going to get to the place where you're moved by it. I see this in my own life all the time. You know, the Bible says to meditate on the right things. Praise the Lord. And what do? I read that scripture and then I go flip open the news. And I don't care what news agency it is, but every time I do that, I walk away from the news mad. And then I ask myself, why do I always go back to my own vomit? What's my own vomit? I always go back to that place of listening to garbage that I know is just going to upset me. It's taking me away from walking in love. It's taking me away from, it's getting me focused on the things that are happening in the world. It doesn't mean that you completely block out the news, but I will say something. I've been learning more and more that there is something about that. Maybe we need to. You know, maybe we need to stop listening to the world. Maybe we just need to put it all away. You know, I remember a story about when, I'm going to say some names. Some of you might know, some of you might not, but there are forefathers in the faith, amazing men of God. But Dr. Lester Summerall, amazing man of God, when he went to visit Smith Wigglesworth at his house in England. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, if you don't know, he was a father of a lot of things that we understand today. He had some amazing manifestations in his ministry. There's people raised from the dead. I mean, there's crazy, like Jesus type of stuff back in that day. You know, the disciples kind of stuff back, and I wasn't comparing him to Jesus, but I was saying in that time period. The stuff that they saw, there was those kinds of things. Awesome manifestations. And the man, I mean, if you knew his whole story, it's just amazing. But when Dr. Summerall went to visit him at his house. He opened his door, and Dr. Summerall had a newspaper tucked under his arm, and he said, "Get rid of that. You can't bring that in here." And he was like, "Well, why?" He's like, "I don't allow lies into my house." Yeah. And that was in the early 1900s. Yeah. But what's that tell you about today? I mean, today, they don't even hide the fact they're lying anymore. They purposely lie. Yeah. Because they want to purposely deceive, amen? And there's people that purposely like purposely getting lied to because they purposely want to be deceived. Yeah, that's the, this is what we live in. You want to know why things look and seem so backwards? It's because of what people are purposing to do. They're looking at the truth and they're saying, I don't want that because I don't like that. I want something fake. So I'll take something fake just because it's on my side, just because it's what I agree with. Listen, you need to be led by the Lord when you do things and make decisions, not led by political rallies or whatever else, or the news media or Facebook or any other thing that leads us. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to meditate on the right things. It's important. If you don't meditate on the right things, I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to lose your thankfulness, and you're going to start being angry. And when the person is angry, they start having complaints. And when you start complaining, you lose more thankfulness. And you start getting into that, you start going down that rabbit hole that's where it's constantly bad, constantly miserable. You're constantly upset. And sometimes you get so upset, you don't even know why you're upset anymore. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But we're called to be better than this. We're called to be above this. Amen? We're called to have God's supernatural perspective. Why? Because when we look at God's perspective, he looks down and he says, okay, I can do it all, right? I can do whatever I need to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know we teach different aspects of that, but, God knows. He doesn't look at you and say, I'll take care of my people when he's not sure if he can actually take care of his people. He knows that he can. He knows, like Jesus, Jesus knew certain things when he was here. Read the life of Jesus in the Gospels. It's really interesting. Jesus knew that at any point in time, he could call a legion of angels. If you don't know, legion is an army. It's a big number. I think specifically it's about 2,000. But he could call a legion of angels at any point in time to rescue him out of anything. All those people that were coming against him, those people that were beating him on the back and nailing him to the cross, at any point he could have called angels out of heaven and they would have come down and rescued him and taken him away. Praise God. Hallelujah. He knew he had perspective. But see, he also knew what he was here for. He also knew that he had a plan and a purpose. So he knew that the sufferings that he was going to go through were only temporal. He knew that the joy on the other side was worth the sufferings that he was going through. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's some things that we need to be thankful about with that. We need to understand some things in that. Sometimes there are sufferings in life that a Christian will go through that God endeavors that you go through. And the reason he endeavors that you go through is not because he's trying to just see if you're a good person or not. It's because in doing so, it opens the door for others. It opens the doors for other things. Amen? You know, Paul talked about this, that, at one point was beaten and thrown in prison, but it turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, it opened doors of opportunity where he could preach to more people. Because all of a sudden, this one who used to persecute now was being persecuted. And it opened the door for people to listen. Sometimes, sometimes bad publicity is good publicity. Because people talk, we found that even in this pandemic, we had the naysayers out there ranting and running their mouths and stuff, saying all kinds of things, and all of a sudden we got more people following us. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? It means that God's working through those, he'll work through those opportunities. But when you're going through it, sometimes it doesn't feel so good. But that's why we have to learn to be thankful, because if we're thankful, it means we understand that God always comes through for us, that no matter what the trial is, no matter how bad it looks right now, and notice what I said, how bad it looks, because generally how bad it feels and how bad it looks is not really how bad it is. I've had people bring issues to me before, as a pastor. Again, I've had people come to me with an issue, and in my heart, I've just kind of snickered, just thought, man, it's not that bad. Like, it's to them, it's, yeah, I wasn't laughing at them, you understand. But then, I was just in my heart, I just realized that what they were going through, even though it would seem big to them in the moment, it wasn't that big of a deal. That if they'd just be faithful, it would pass over. And then in the end, they look back on it and they'd say, you know what? Man, praise God. Hallelujah. I went through a lot of things in my life, a lot of bad things in my life. And as I look back on them now, I don't wish to go through them again. Amen. I don't want to sign up to go through some of the pain and suffering I've gone through. But I will tell you this, that I'm thankful for the things that I've been through, because I can stand before people and say, listen, this is proof that God is good, because he doesn't leave you there. If you follow him, if you trust him, God won't leave you broken. He won't leave you in that place of a lack or anything like that. He'll bring you out. Amen. Every single time. I don't know if my wife heard me, but I was singing my own song in the shower this morning. I was like, if he could do it in me, he could do it in you. That's what I was singing. I don't know where it was. Maybe it was a spiritual song. I don't know, but that's, did you hear me singing that? No, but I was singing it, praise the Lord. Making up my own rhyme. I had a, you know, I endeavored to not forget because, you know, I was going to make a big hit out of it. But really, that's what I was singing. It was in my heart. If he can do it in me, he can do it in you, praise the Lord. And I just love that about our Lord. If he could do it in me, man, he could do it in anybody, praise God. You know, and I was thinking about, you know, how he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, amen? Praise God. And so we see what to meditate on. You know, we have a list of things here to meditate on. Why is Paul telling the Philippians to meditate on these things? You remember, the Philippians were not in a place of if you understand this section of scripture, we understand that the Philippians were not in a good financial position. That they had a lot of opposition in that area. In fact, they were in poverty, and so here he's telling them how to essentially get out of it because they were already givers. They were generous. In fact, in the next section of scripture in Philippians, in my Bible, it's called Philippian generosity. And we understand that these people were generous in the midst of their poverty, in the midst of their trials. It didn't matter. See, these are people that God can do. And that's where, you know, we go down to verse 4. We're not going to turn there, but if you just look over at 4:19, that's where we get the scripture, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, or by Christ Jesus, amen? And so we understand that Paul is doing the same thing I'm doing here this morning, encouraging you, listen, Philippians, there's a reason to be thankful. Praise the Lord. We can leave here Philippians today. I'd be the Philippians today, amen? I want to be the Philippians. Be thankful, be generous, be thankful, and watch God supply everything you need. Praise God, hallelujah. Isn't that a good place to be? Amen. But there's steps in getting there, remember. First thing he told them was, finally, brethren, whatever things are noble or true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure or just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, find something praiseworthy and meditate on that. If there's anything out there, you're having a really bad day, everything's bad, and you start looking, man, maybe you got to look under the cushions. Maybe you got to go find that McDonald's French fry under the back seat of your car. You know, remember what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Maybe you have to, if you don't know, well, glory to God, it's in the archive somewhere. But you maybe you got to go backwards. Maybe you got to go to the lowest part and just find something to praise God for. But you start there. And I'm just telling you, it'll lift you up. And then he goes on to say, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and what? The God of peace will be with you. Paul knew. You know, I would say this. I would say the same thing to you. The things that you heard and saw in me, praise the Lord. But I'm not necessarily talking about the things that you heard and saw in me when I was at home, you know, in the backyard working on my boat. Because you might not have heard the greatest things then. You know what I mean? Or when I was trying to fix the plumbing in the house, you know, and water was spraying all over the place or something like that. I'm not talking about those things. But the things that you heard in the pulpit, the things that were inspired by the Lord, amen? These are the things that we look to. The things, you know, I don't know if you've learned this yet, but I learned this, is that there's a difference between my pastor as a pastor and my pastor as a man. I've seen both, amen? there is definitely a difference. I love the office of the pastor. I also love the office, or the man that's my pastor. I also love him as well, but, you know, I love the office more. I embrace that because there's so much wisdom that comes out of that place, and it's not the man that delivers it. Or I should say, it's the man that delivers it, but it's not the man who came up with it. Amen? It's the things that sometimes it amazes me, the things that the Lord shows me. Because I'll be like, well, I had no way of knowing that before. You know, and if you're wrong in your thinking, there's pastors that have gotten wrong in their thinking that they could sit there and think, man, I'm pretty smart. I'm a pretty smart cookie. I came up with this. So think about, whoo, hallelujah. They're preaching good stuff because it was the Word of God. It was revelation of the Word of God. But they thought that they came up with it on their own. And then they started denying the Lord, and then you see them, it goes downhill from there. That's why we always try to stay humble. We had nothing we have that we didn't receive. There's nothing that we have that we didn't that didn't come from God. Amen. Nobility. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9:11. Just want to pull it up here. says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Amen. This is a really interesting scripture, and I love this scripture because this shows, again, the heart of God. The heart of God desires thanksgiving. Is there anything that a parent understands is the importance of thanksgiving? I'm talking about the holiday. Amen? And I mean, seriously. Why is thanksgiving always important to a parent? Because, number one, because parents are generally thankful, and especially thankful when they can get their family together. They're especially thankful when they can get all their people together in one place, especially if it's done without any arguing or anything, and people love each other, and they come together, and everybody gets fat and happy, glory to God, eating gravy and turkey, and man, we got to do that soon, maybe. I don't know, because just gravy and turkey sounds really good right now. Well, praise the Lord. Some potatoes and corn and all that stuff. Well, we can wait till Thanksgiving, too. It doesn't matter. But while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving, why parents, a good parent loves, they're thankful for Thanksgiving. It's the same thing with God. He loves Thanksgiving. He loves it when his children are thankful. When they're thankful, it means that they recognize that God is good, that they recognize his love for them. Isn't it wonderful when somebody recognizes your care for them? I mean, I'm just blown away, over the top thankful. When people have done things for us and poured into our lives, it's amazing to me. It can't even fathom why somebody would do that. Amen. And so you understand. You would understand that as well. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, this is awesome because this points to God's heart. Why does He enrich us? Why does God increase us? God increases us for liberality. In other words, God increases us so we can go out and do things without hindrance. So he'll increase you in your finances so you can go out and be a blessing in your finances. God will increase you in your health and your strength so you can go out and be a blessing to people where you couldn't before. He'll increase you in your knowledge so you can go out and be a blessing. See, everything with God is tied back to what you do with it. See, there's a whole section of the of gospel teaching nowadays that loves to hang up on personal prosperity for the sake of walking away with riches and gold and diamonds and all these things. God isn't opposed to those things. But people who focus on that are wrong. People who focus on just getting out of debt just so they can get out of debt. You know, my wife and I, we were talking about getting out of debt. We're putting the numbers together. If we change nothing in our income or anything, so we don't increase at all, but we stay as diligent as we are, so we don't change anything else, but we keep going in the direction that we're going, in 14 years, we will pay off every single debt that we have, including our house. I mean, we have a 26-year-old mortgage. We'll have it all taken care of. That's through diligence, praise the Lord, following God, amen, being diligent to do right by according to the word, and see all these things. People look at that and they'll say, just start following the word on what he says about finances. Because that's all we did. That's all that we did. We haven't increased something. I have said this before and I'll say it again. We make less than we did 10 years. I make less than I did 10 years ago. Amen. Now, my wife's income has increased a little bit, but my income has gone way backwards in comparison. But God has still brought us out because that's what God does. God will always bring you to a place of better when you follow his word. Amen. But there's the thing is, one of the things that we were talking about was not what we are going to do with all this extra money from the standpoint of, oh, great, now we can go buy a new boat or we can go buy a new this or a new that, a new car or go on all these vacations. The thing that we were talking about doing with it is, praise the Lord, we could make the church payment out of our income at that point. Glory to God, hallelujah. We could imagine the things that you could give to at that point. We're enriched for everything, for all liberality. To be liberal with it. But see, there's so many people that when they increase, they're like, oh, great. Just put it there and I'll buy my stuff here. And buy me some more stuff over here. And then they think, well, they don't realize it. Well, God's got a work that he wants done. If you are blessed in life, God only blessed you. If God blessed you, God only blessed you to increase you for all liberality. So you can be liberal with your giving. So you can be liberal with your, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. No, it's not always a popular thing to hear, but it's the truth. And that truly tests the heart of man. Because somebody who is willing to give wherever, whatever, praise the Lord, That's a person that God can use, and that's a person God can bless. But it's those who withhold. You know, the Bible says that there's one who scatters and yet increases more, and there's one who withholds more than his meat, and yet it leads to poverty. Why do you suppose that is? It's just the truth. And I'm not trying to get money out of your hands into the church or anything like that. That's not the purpose of doing it. But my goal is to help people understand that God wants to enrich us for all liberality. But there's a purpose in it. There's a reason for it. And this is what it is on the other side, the second part of this verse, which we're not going to give up on, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So everything that we do, man, when you, I don't know if you've ever done this. If you ever bought the groceries for somebody in a grocery line, or if you've ever paid for something that somebody, I mean, we've seen it just buying a coffee for somebody that didn't expect it. I bought a coffee once for a guy that wasn't expecting it, and he looked at me like I just gave him $1 million. He's like, no. You know, like, he just couldn't believe that somebody would do that. But see, when you can turn the glory to God, when you can give God the praise, see, Jeff didn't do that. Only Jeff that's saved and following the will of God would do that. Jeff who's been enriched by everything with all liberality because he follows God, hallelujah, that's the Jeff that would do something like that. Amen? I was a stingy person, I'm just telling you. I didn't want to give out give out any what little bit I had. Just like the rest of, you know, just like the rest of the world. It's uncommon in the world for it. But look what it does. It brings thanksgiving through us to God. It lets people know that God is good. God wants to bless them. God wants to do things in their lives. And man, that's a God that people want to follow, isn't it? Sure beats a God that gives and takes away, doesn't it? Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. God is seeking the thanksgiving. He wants the realization. He wants the recognition of who he is on the earth. He wants people to know and recognize God. And you know what the sad thing about this is Christians don't, by and large, don't live according to this. Because Christians, by and large, are stingy. I've said this before. I'll say it again. But when you go to, and I'm talking about giving. Yeah, I'm talking about giving. But I'm talking about giving in the world, just being a good person in the world. My wife can attest to this too, but most waitresses will tell you that the worst crowd to waitress for are the church crowd on Sundays because they're the stingiest. They're the ones that tip the less. What does that speak about God? I'm telling you right now, I have a thing about tipping, and not just because I got my wife that way. Praise the Lord, because she was my waitress. Praise the Lord. But I have a thing about tipping. It's something that people need to do. It's something that people need to be okay with because it shows generosity. And to be generous towards people, it baffles them why somebody would be generous. But then when they know you're a Christian to boot, it changes their mindset. See, the problem is a lot of the stereotypes of Christian, unfortunately, aren't very good. And they aren't good because Christians have exemplified them. You know, Christians are like, you know, I'm a Christian and it's important to follow God and stuff like that. And they sit on a bar stool and they wonder why people don't want what they want. Your life isn't any different than mine. They don't want that. Why? That's why it's evil. Amen? Praise the Lord. Or Christians that live just like the rest of the world do. You know what I'm talking about? And anything. Glory to God. And so God, he increases us. He has enriched us in everything. Notice it says in everything, in all areas. You know, people need to look at your life and say, man, they're blessed. They need to see God's blessing in your life. You know how they're going to see God's blessing? You say, well, what do I have to do to control that? I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to determine in your heart that you will not go without God's blessing. I am going to walk in the blessing of the Lord. But when you determine that, folks, praise the Lord, that's a good thing. And your hallelujahs and your amens were right. But I'm going to tell you, there is a key part to that that comes on the other side of that. And that's what you decide to do with that. It's your thanksgiving. Because your thanksgiving says that if I'm going to live in the blessing of the Lord, then you know what? I'm going to get over this trouble. I'm going to get over it. I'm going to get over this anger. I'm not going to be angry. I will not hold offense. See, if you're going to hold on to those things, then you disqualify yourself from the blessing of the Lord. You take yourself out of that. Why does my wife and I have a good marriage? Because we've determined that there's nothing that's going to rob this marriage. Nothing. No bad attitude. No offense. No stupid. Nothing. I've said some stupid things since I've been married. Since serving God. Being a pastor, I've said some stupid things to my wife. Later, I've repented for her. Eat crow, as we like to say, right? Praise the Lord. Gone back. And what does she do? She graciously forgives me. And I forgive her for all the nasty, bad things she's done to me, too. Amen. Praise God. What's that? Nobody believes me, but it made me feel better to say it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. That's how you have a good marriage. It's just because you just determine, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to be right. This is the one I'm stuck with. Praise God. I'm making it to the end. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to make it to the end, and we're going to be blessed while we're doing it. But you know what we find? We find a lot of good things in that. We find a lot of blessing in that, and we find a lot of freedom in that, because we're not constantly bogged down by this idea of, well, what's the other person going to do? Like, listen, none of us are perfect, right? And if you're a guy, you're certainly far from perfect. I'm just telling you the truth. Like, listen, I'm not into this whole bashing guys thing in the world that the world is gotten onto. But I just will tell you the truth. We are a little bit rough around the edges sometimes. There are some things in us, and it's good for certain things, but when it comes out in a relationship, sometimes it's not as good. You know, sometimes the bullheadedness, the pigheadedness, all that stuff, the guys stuff, the stuff that makes us guys, amen, praise the Lord. You know, there's some people that would hate that I would say. They might kick us off of Facebook because we said that. I don't know, but praise the Lord. It's all good. Amen. They got to let us back on eventually. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 4. God is good, amen. Oh, this is some good stuff here. Praise the Lord. Look at this. These are good scriptures. I like these. Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, everybody say, rich in mercy. Do you believe it? See, meditate on these things. If there's anything praiseworthy, if there's anything good, what's more praiseworthy than God, who's rich in mercy? Have you done anything stupid, ever? You know what you need when you've done something stupid? Mercy. Hallelujah. Mercy, hallelujah. That's what we need. We need mercy, and we need it now. Praise the Lord. I'm begging you for mercy, as somebody said. I don't know. It's a, probably don't listen to that song, amen. But God is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. In your marriages, in your relationships, in your friendships, in your brother and sister relationships here in the church, be rich in mercy. Why? Because you are of your Father who is in heaven. Praise the Lord. We're not going to quote the other one that Jesus said in John 8:44. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father. You remember, he was speaking to the Pharisees. He wasn't speaking to born-again Christians. Amen. We are not of our father, the devil. We are of our Father, our heavenly Father. Amen. And as he is, so are we on this earth. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So he's rich in mercy. We need to be rich in mercy. Amen. Praise God. He is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Notice this. How do you know that you're in love? How much mercy do you give out? Because God, the Bible equates mercy with great love. Amen? Well, that's awesome. Free, no charge. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. I don't think you heard what I just said. Even when we were dead in trespasses, when we were the worst we could possibly be, there was no good feeling to be had. God couldn't look at us and say, oh man, they just did one thing. You know, it says if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God had nothing to meditate on except for his own goodness. So what did he do? He sent Jesus. Hallelujah. So even while we're dead in trespasses, he was so rich in mercy that when we didn't deserve it, folks, hear what I'm saying. When we didn't, if we're going to be like our Father, we got to be like our Father. If we want the things our Father has, we got to be like our Father. Amen? When we had nothing, when we were worthless, when we were dirty, when we were nasty, disgusting, when we were vile, did bad things, God looked at us and said, yep, that's the one I love, and that's the one I'm going to save. Praise the Lord. Gives you a little bit more room for that person who's been nagging you, huh? That person who's been just a little bit of an annoyance to you, that brother or sister in the Lord or that spouse or whatever, you know, whoever's been really dogging you, and that gives you a little bit more room to just say, you know what? I love you. You're forgiven. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. I am so thankful for the mercy of God. And raised us up together. I love this because in this section of Scripture, he keeps giving us ands. It's not just like, okay, he was rich in mercy, he saved us. Great, that was wonderful. But he didn't just save us, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we get to sit in a place of authority, a place of power, a source of increase, a source of betterment, a source of just all good things, only because he loved us. Praise the Lord. He set us in heavenly places that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amen. By grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why do we walk in good works? Because this is the enriching. Praise the Lord. If he's called you to good works, he's given you the ability to walk in good works. And so if God's called you to something, this is what I love about the local church, because this is a thing. Like, if we think about it right, this is so awesome. God has connected to us a place, given us vision that's far above and far exceeds everything that we could do on our own, right? And he says, now I connected you to it, and I've connected you to it because these are part of the works that you're going to do. Now, it doesn't just mean that, you know, that the church specifically, but that God will do things through a body of believers just like this. And when we realize that, then we realize, wait a minute. If God has called me here, if he's planted me here, if he's put me here with these other believers, and he's taking us in this direction, then he's also given me the ability to do my part in that direction. And so even if I have no ability, which I didn't because I was worthless on my own, but I've come into this family now, I've got connected to the family, and I get what the family gets. I get to do what the family does. I get to be part of something greater. I get to stand before him someday with a clear conscience and knowing the whole time that I was in it, that he enabled me to do all these things I needed to do. Praise the Lord. It's just awesome. It is such a wonderful thing. That's why it was like we don't downplay church. We increase the idea of church in people. We tell people about what a wonderful thing it is because God has called us together for greatness, to do great things, that we don't have to listen. It doesn't mean we could save 50 people for the rest of eternity and it wouldn't change what God will do through us. Because there's no limitation on what God can do through us other than what we limit him on. In other words, the things that we won't do as a group, we could stay 50, we could grow to 250. I don't know, it doesn't matter. All that matters is we do what God has called us to do. Because one thing that I've learned is that 50 people, 3 people can change the world if they want to. Amen? Jesus did it with him and 12 others, right? Praise God, hallelujah. In 3 years, he did it. Praise God. I want to read verse 10 in the Amplified. It says, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. Now think about that. If I'm creative, I like to create things. And so when I create things, my handiwork, my ability, my thought process, my heart, all of that is found in what I create. Amen. Especially the best stuff I've ever created. Now think about God. And we know that about workmanship. We know that if you have somebody, my grandfather, an amazing cabinet maker, and everybody, there was people that would seek after him. He never advertised once in his life. And he's just people that would seek after him. He always stayed busy, never went without work. Why? Because he was skilled at his craft. He was good. But we are God's handiwork. That's what a born-again Christian is. So it doesn't matter what background you came from, where you came from, none of that stuff matters anymore. See, and if you insist on holding on to that stuff, then you limit yourself going forward and what he can do in you. This is why we always have to be thankful. Well, I was born in the ghetto. I was born poor. I was born without. If you're born again, it doesn't matter where you were born because now you are God's handiwork. He's created you in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. He's created you for something special. Now, when God, the creator of everything, so we would say God is probably a pretty skilled craftsman, right? Everything you see, he's created. When you're amazed, when you look at something, whether it's a cloud, stars, or a rock, or a tree, or whatever, when you look at beautiful furniture, and you look at it, the way the wood is, remember that God created that. That was his handiwork. That was his skilled craftsmanship. Hallelujah. And so God created all that, looked at it and said it was good, but that's exactly what you are. Amen. Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Notice they're not paths that we prepare. They're paths he prepared. That's why it's so important to get people to stop following your own plan. Because your plan leads to hell. That's where it went all the time. When you follow God's plan, now all of a sudden, the whole everything opens up to you. Because it's all part of his master plan. He's got a good plan. Remember, he's got perspective you don't see. You see, oh man, that's really pretty up there. He sees the disease at the end of it. He sees the death at the end of it. Oh, that's a great road to drive down. Let's drive down that road. He's the one that sees the bridge out. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. He prearranged it. Living a good life is up to us, and thanksgiving is the key. If you have a promise of good, then faith declares, I have no reason at all to be sorrowful. Amen? And we've got plenty of promises of good. I just read one right there. He's got good works for us. They're good works. He wants us to live the good life. John 10:10, if you forget, amen? Our job is then to declare goodness, his goodness, and his works to the earth. And that's what Christians need to be doing, especially in this time period. This is why it's so disheartening when you see Christians that get on the bandwagons of arguing about this and this injustice and that injustice. We talked about this recently. There's pastors down in, even locally, pastors who got on that bandwagon. Instead of preaching the gospel, they're out there preaching some other garbage that isn't going to change lives. And I'm not saying that the cause isn't right. I'm not saying the cause isn't good. Listen, we should not be just killing people. We shouldn't be racist. All these things, they're terrible, terrible things. But if you get people to follow the gospel, people won't be racist. People will take care of people. If you get people to follow this, nobody is going to come against anyone else. Everybody's going to want to love each other because they're going to want to be like their Heavenly Father. That's why we promote the gospel. We don't promote other things. As Christians, you don't promote other things. You don't stand on this cause and that cause. The only cause you stand on is that of Jesus Christ, because that's the only cause that matters. Listen, your ideas of what the president or what the governor or anything else should do does not matter. It doesn't matter because they will never live up to your expectations. You know why? Most of them aren't even saved. And if they're not saved, they're certainly not going to make the best decisions on their own. But that's why we need to pray for them, not argue about it. Amen? Well, glory to God. Praise God. Our job is to declare God's goodness and his works to the entire earth. This is what it should sound like. Even when it appears bad for me, it works for me. Even when people hate me, God is for me. Even when I am alone, God is with me. When we know these things, we always have a reason to be thankful. We always have a reason to be thankful. Maybe things aren't perfect in your life. Maybe a lot of things are less than perfect in your life. That's okay. God is perfect. And if he's still in your life, praise the Lord, and all that decides that is whether or not you want him there. God isn't removing himself from anybody. You understand that, right? God does not, the Bible says he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. In other words, God is not withholding himself from anybody. Everybody has the same equal access to God according to the word of God. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a pastor. It doesn't matter if it's someone coming off the street and accepted Jesus. It does not matter. Praise the Lord. He is there for us all. So even if things are bad, you start with praise. Start with thankfulness. Go back to the beginning and find what you're thankful for. And if very simply, you could be thankful that God saved your sorry butt. Amen. I'm thankful for that, both for you and for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He gave me a church. Praise the Lord. He gave me a place. He gave me a pastor. You know, I think about this. When we, when God sends us to another place, when he puts us another town or a missionary or however he does it, when he sends somebody to us, what a wonderful, amazing act of kindness, love, and mercy that is. God will sometimes send somebody to us just to deliver a message to us, just to change one life. Amen. Is one life worth it? I thought about that as I looked at that woman last night that came into the church. I was like, here's just one person. But God would have set that church there, would have spent all that money. He would have put all those resources into that if that one woman would come there one time. That's how much God loves us. That's how good he is. But God is stirring the hearts of other people all the time. There's other people for us to reach. You think about this. As you sit here, if your life has been changed, if your life has been helped by the gospel that has been preached in this pulpit, understand this, that God loved you so much that he sent it all here just for you. Because if you were the only one that would come to receive it, even if you received it for a month, turned around, rejected it, and walked out the door, he still would do the work. He still would send somebody. And you know something? That somebody who comes, sometimes that's labor for them. It's labor when somebody goes somewhere that they're sent and they're rejected. It was labor when Jesus did it, and it's labor when humans do it. But that's the goodness of God, is that he will take people who have been built up in faith, and he'll say, I'll send you here to give them a shot. See, that's how much God loves us, just to give us a shot. Amen. I don't know about you, but that stirs me up. That makes me pretty thankful. Praise the Lord. We are going to close with Philippians 4:6. I just want to bring it up for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Philippians 4:6. I love Philippians. I love this book of the Bible. There's so much good stuff in there. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I ask you in this in closing, how do you pray? Do you pray with thanksgiving? Do you pray in faith, and do you pray in thanksgiving? What does it mean to pray in thanksgiving? When you go to God and you're going to ask him for something, try first thanking him for what you do have. Say, well, I don't have much. Like I said, if you're breathing, that's a good place to start. Amen? And you can always find something. You can dig in and you can find something that you're thankful for. And it won't take long. Amen? If you smiled at all this week, there's something to be thankful for. And so if we start there, if we start with that, if we make thanksgiving a part of our life, folks, we'll see things. We'll see amazing things happen. And one of the greatest amazing things that we'll see happen is we'll see the lives of other people get changed. Because that's what we're here for ultimately. Amen?